Neil Delamere's Sunday Best.
Today FM. Now, my next guest is focusing a little less on Room to Improve tonight on RTE and a little more on rooms that absolutely need no improvement except for the one that he burnt porridge in. Good afternoon, Dermot Bannon.
Good afternoon. How are you, Neil?
I'm very, very well. I've just given away the answer to the quiz that we're doing.
We'll make up another question.
No, it's fine. I want more people to text in. So you've got a new series.
Yes.
Two-part series.
Two-part. So does that qualify as a series? Is more than one, is it a series?
I don't know. That's an answer for the BAI to answer. So it's a little bit away from Room to Improve because you do go off and look at what can only be described as unbelievably just dream houses.
It is. RTÉ came to me at the beginning of the year and said, we've got two slots to film in early December. What would you like to do? So we went away, the lot of us, and we were thinking. And
this must have been tough, all right.
I just wanted to do something that wasn't Room to Improve. It was a bit different, but obviously not too much out of my comfort zone. Like, I wasn't going to go and do I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, or something like that. I wanted to go. And so when I was in college, I always remember a friend of mine, he was a couple of years older than me, and he said to me, I said, any tips for getting through architecture? And he said, every single bus that leaves the college gate, be on it, go somewhere, go travel, go see. Because you can't learn architecture from books. You can read an awful lot, but you have to experience things. You have to travel, you have to see. So I've been obsessed with doing that ever since. And myself and my wife used to always go on city breaks and we'd travel around. And I've been to New York a few times, looking up, looking around, feeling buildings. But since the kids have arrived, it's water parks, it's beaches. They have no interest, and I'm not going to drag a 5-year-old around, a contemporary museum in Berlin when he would much rather be
anywhere else in the world.
So when they said to me, I said, "Oh God, wouldn't it be great just a little bit of time in a city?" So we hadn't decided where to go, and then it just, I suppose, if where you're going to start is the two big cities that people, the world kind of the
world cities.
Yeah, like New York is the ultimate city, isn't it? And LA is where all dreams are made.
Yeah.
So it's kind of where people gravitate for some reason. Not everybody people come to Dublin if they're not from Dublin for work or maybe for a weekend, but everybody wants to spend time in New York.
New York has its own gravity in it and it sucks you in. And there's a whole thing about New York that people used to say about that. And before I've only been there once and people were going, "Oh, there's a buzz in the streets." And I went, "Oh, that's nonsense." And I went there and went, "Oh no, there's a buzz in the streets." It feels like you're in a film.
Do you know what? We got one day off in New York, right? And
I
couldn't be bothered shopping. I didn't need anything, and I just wandered. And I went up to Central Park, and I wandered around the Guggenheim, and then I went back to Central Park, and I sat down that evening, and I didn't realize I had a little app on my phone that tells you how many steps you've done. But I did 20 kilometers without knowing.
20 kilometers.
20 kilometers without knowing, because I was really shocked at how much I'd done.
That's why you need all the porridge.
But there's something. That's what's really amazing about cities. Is that if you were to go for a 20-mile walk on a beach, you'd be exhausted after 5 miles, or sorry, kilometres, there's a big difference in that, so that's like I did a marathon. But so that's why cities are such amazing places, because there's so much to look at and there's so much to look up at.
So tell us what you saw in this particular one that's on tonight. So the New York one is on tonight. I've seen it. The first place you saw was
Leonard Street.
Yeah. Now, the reason you saw this one place is because it was designed by people who are heroes
Herzog
of you.
De Meuron, who are famous Swiss architects. Now, they're famous if you're an architect. Like, these are like God. So this was like me going to meet Bono.
So describe this place.
This was it's called the Jenga Tower. That's the nickname of it. And basically what it is, they took a tower and they pixelated it. Which means that it's quite smooth at the base, but the further up you go, you have to be far away to see it. So they were able to kind of shove all of the apartments around like Jenga blocks, okay? Because when you stand halfway up Midtown, look down at it, it just still looks like a tower, but up close, it's absolutely stunning building. But the architects themselves designed everything in it, from the floor tiles to the carpets to the rugs, the whole way up. And we were on the 52nd floor. It was one of their penthouses, and it felt like you were God. You were just looking back over the whole of Manhattan. It was stunning. And the detailing and the ceiling heights and the glass and the light and everything in it was just stunning.
How much to ask the it's a very coarse question, gauche question. However, everybody always wants to know, and you're not trying to sell this as a three-bed semi. This is the stuff of dreams.
It is, but it's not about value, like, because did see some small stuff. Some of it made it into the show, some of it didn't. But it was 17. I'm kind of avoiding that question.
17 million. But don't worry, I was going to say it anyway. Would you have changed anything in it? Because you walked in, and I wanted to ask you that question actually, because I've done some documentaries and they always want to get your first impression.
Yes.
It's really important that they get you when you walk in.
Yeah.
I got the impression that they captured that because you walked in and you weren't pretending, you were gobsmacked and went, oh my God.
The director was putting me out of my comfort zone the whole time, and every single building I went, every person I met, he made me meet them for the first time on camera.
Yeah.
And I'm so used on Room to Improve to, I'll go in and I'll have a recce of the place. I'll wander around and say, okay, we're going to go here, we're going to go here, we're going to go here. And it's, I'm in control of it. And they put me completely out of control. I said, go on, go on, go in. I said, I'm not going in just like that. Go on, go on.
Yeah.
And so they were all
very
inside.
Very deliberate ploy.
But you know something, it got my first reaction.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of jaw dropping, which
those views on the one that I saw anyway, they, I think they can be described as jaw dropping views. Would you have changed anything in that particular place?
No.
Nothing. Have you ever been in a house where you wouldn't have changed something?
Where I wouldn't have changed.
Wouldn't have changed something. There can't be too many.
No, a few. Like obviously, if they're designed by world renowned, if I'm there and I feel that the building is better than I can do, that's when you go and visit. Like that's what you go on an inspiration trip for. You go on an inspiration trip to learn, but also that you know that these guys can do something better than you, so you're learning. So yeah, no, I wouldn't dream of suggesting.
Yeah, you went to the World Trade Center as well,
yes.
And the monument, and I got the impression there that was a very genuine reaction. You were very, because I've watched you Room to Improve down throughout the years, and you show a range of emotions, but you don't show sadness and you don't show sorrow. So when I saw you overwhelmed, you were genuinely overwhelmed by that.
For the first time in that whole trip, I couldn't speak, and I was looking around. There was loads of tourists there taking selfies, and I just thought, this is really inappropriate. And then I start to feel, is it really inappropriate for me to be making something down here? And I was, we got through that bit really, really quickly. I went and I got a really strong coffee and I got out of there. I was looking forward to going to see it because the monument and thing, but it's so powerful when you're down there. Mm. Like, and it's just, as an architect, I suppose, because I could see that the two squares in the ground were actually where the World Trade Center building stood. And then all it is this water cascading down and then further down into this black hole.
But it disappears. The water.
So all these lives are just gone. Like it was incredibly moving. Like, and I was kind of a bit embarrassed when I saw it back myself. But like,
I think it's very effective. I think it's a fitting tribute for something for something that is very apt.
But
as well.
I had no connection to the place. Like I was in New York once.
But doesn't
before, that? But that's how powerful it is.
That, exactly. And also, you made that point. You're not going, I was there, or I worked there, or I knew anybody there that was involved.
It's that powerful that it can move you. If anybody who like it's quite figurative because it is the footprints of the building, but it's also it's the emotion of the water. It's really simple.
Well, the one in Berlin has a similar effect on people that for the people who died in the Holocaust.
The Jewish Museum, and that was Daniel Liebskind, the same guy who did the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. And it's like being inside one of the trains, the chinks of light and all of that. Yeah, and it is. It's very emotive.
The one that I thought brought out a different emotion in you, in that. The first one, we can't go into all of them here because we have to give a taster. I was very interested in watching your emotions. Was the first one, so that's that amazing building that we talked about, the penthouse, right?
Yeah.
So you were wowed immediately. Great opening to a show. And then we saw it with the World Trade Center, wowed in a different way. There was one in New Jersey. Okay?
Yes.
Now, I can only describe this as, I can't go into too much detail, but it's basically a house within a house.
Cracked.
So there's a hangar.
It's crazy. It's...
And this hangar is above this old...
It's an old farmhouse. Yeah, and instead of extending the farmhouse, because what the architect wanted to do was almost treble, quadruple the size of it, extending it would have destroyed it, so he built a hangar over it.
Did that take you a long time to like that?
I hated it when the producers told me we're going here, and I say, no, absolutely no way. I just think this is absolutely crazy. This is just, I hate the word quirky. Or it's different, because that just means there's no substance to it. Mm. Like when somebody says, oh, that was just really quirky, I go, I can't say the word on radio.
Okay. Give us a clue.
But it's a load of... I just thought that. And then when I got there, you see, when I got there, I vowed I would go there with an open mind. But you don't really, do you?
No, like, of course you don't.
You never go with an open mind. You're completely cynical. And I was there, I was going up there just to kind of to almost slag it off. And when I got there, I thought there's something in this. And the more he described it, it wasn't just a house or a piece of art. It was actually a piece of art. It was there to question you. It was there kind of, what is a house? What wire space? And what was really cool about that is that the house that sat in the middle of the hangar acted like a room divider. Okay, so the existing house sat in the middle of it and then it divided up the space, but there was no defined spaces. So wherever the family sat in the dinner, that became the dining room. Wherever the kids played, that became the playroom. Wherever you pulled out your laptop, that became the office. He didn't sit down and say, this is going to become this space. And it had this, like, it was almost like cathedral-like spaces. They were so high as a living room. But then sometimes you think, I'd love somewhere really cozy. So in the existing house, there was the cosy sitting room still left. So I've never been in a house that has dramatic spaces. Like, it's like going from a small little pub snug. It's, do you know what it's like? It's like going from a confession box out into the main part of a church. You know that kind of...
Wow.
When's the last time you were in confession?
Dear Dermot Bannon, it has been 6 months since my last confession.
My sins
because there was a lot of... it's fascinating. It's it intrigues me. And then it's... I was going, oh, I hope he hates it. I hope he says it to any hate.
I was hoping I was going to hate it. I was going to hope.
I was quite monosyllabic as well. He wasn't selling it too well.
No.
Well, he sold itself at the end.
Again, a lot of the people who created the more wackier houses, they were artists. They were doing something. So they were kind of tortured souls. So for them, it was a big deal that I was coming. Like, I think one of the questions, who are you? And I said, well, I'm in Dermot. No, I mean, who are you? I said, oh, Christ, are we getting this deep already?
That was his opening question.
Who are you? And I was like, I'm not ready for this now. I'm just making a simple show here. But they were kind of tortured souls who had done something they'd done something that was quite different, but I don't know if they were ready to be judged on it. They knew, but once I kind of listened to them, you have to listen, you have to be there for a few hours and you have to go through the journey, you get it. Yeah. And actually, isn't it sometimes the bits that you don't expect? It's like when you hear an album and you think, and it's quite experimental, and then, you know, five plays later, I get this, and then it becomes one of these ones that you love and you can't, it becomes an earworm. It was a bit like that. And there's two houses in the series. We're calling it a series now. There's one, the Gold House in LA, which is absolutely, it'll blow you away, like, for, I don't know, all the right and wrong reasons. It was fantastic. So the two of those are experimental houses that I didn't want to like. I was hoping to be better than them, and I'm not. They proved to be better than me.
Well, this is Dermot Bannon's New York Homes. That airs on RT1 tonight. It's your concept album, essentially.
Yeah.
And the second episode, LA Homes, is next week at the same time, half nine
tonight. RT1. Tonight, I keep thinking it's tomorrow. It's tonight.
Yeah. And Room to Improve is back on?
Room to Improve is back, yeah. We're in the middle of that. So we're back in February.
Going well?
No.
We're asking, by the way, and in the quiz question today for the Blue Book voucher, what is the show that he is most famous for, Dermot Bannon, that's been on Donkey's Years on RTE? So it's not Dermot Bannon's New York Homes or Dermot Bannon's LA Homes. It's the other one that we've
just
mentioned.
Given away.
It's Room to Improve. Text Room to Improve.
That's not a good one. I'm going to give them a better question.
By the way, the only thing that slightly worries about this entire interview is that when you're talking about doing things with houses and all the rest, you have to have the measurements bang on and you got kilometres and miles fixed up. You're not getting near my extension. Thanks a million, Dermot.
Thanks, Neil.
Neil Delamere's Sunday Best. Today FM.